Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to WHM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside the whole gang. Christopher Cabin, Eric Sisko, Steven Sadak. We are here. We are fucking drunk, and we are ready to read some letters.
Oh, yeah, we are. And we've, you know, we're just after Thanksgiving, we just all finished our turkey and stuffins.
Oh, right.
We all celebrated Thanksgiving together. Only the four of us.
Stuffins, right?
In a dark room.
Stuffins. Yeah.
Okay, so we got a turkey, and, well, it was really just a pigeon, because this is a New York City show, and we stuffed it with Doritos.
That's right, dude.
I could get into that.
I bet you could.
And then we went to a classic New York pizzeria, Famiglia. Got some Thanksgiving pies.
A couple of disgusting shit boys.
No, you wrap the pizza around the pigeon.
Now
I'm back with this.
All right, that's a pizza. Pete's pigeon.
It's like a turducken. Turfucking.
Let's get down to some letter reading, Steve Sadak. Start us off.
My Susian Nightmare.
Uh-oh.
Hey, guys. I just finished your amazing Cat in the Hat episode.
Thank you so much.
Really wanted to hit the amazing.
That's right.
And I wanted to write and share a story from a few years ago that still brings chills to my spine even today.
You should get that looked into. Chill spine is not a laughing matter. And consult your physician.
FYI, if you've had the chicken pox virus, the shingles virus may already be inside you.
That was a symptom when the Tylenol killings happened in the 80s.
The Tylenol killings. Oh, yeah. The time to be alive.
It's a great Burt Reynolds movie. The Tylenol killings.
Yeah. Someone's
it's a real thing.
Poisoning all these pills. No, I know it's real, but it'd be funny if Burt Reynolds started a movie about it.
Now we got.
I would like that.
Yeah, now we got a copycat killer out there called ibuprofen.
Let me get in this cool car. You see, I had the pleasure of working on the major motion picture, The Cat in the Hat.
Oh, fuck,
what?
Dude.
I was a production assistant at the time of working on the production offices on the Universal Studios lot. This was my first time working on that lot, and I loved everything about it.
Okay, so this might be revenge. These guys trying to get revenge on us.
We don't know.
Let's see. Let's read on.
One of the perks of working on that lot is when the crew called lunch, we would hop in a car or a golf cart and get to have lunch with the crew. I love driving through the lot, making my way through the Hill Valley set, waving.
Which burned to the ground, by the way.
Oh, 30 years ago to this day. I loved
a night just like tonight.
I loved waving to the famous Universal tram as it drove by, and sometimes catching movie stars hanging out outside the sound stages. Meals were usually served in an empty stage wherever they were filming that day, and it would be buffet style with lots of tables set up, much like a school's cafeteria.
Ooh.
Since I worked in the production office, I didn't get to meet a ton of the crew, so most meals I would just grab my food and sit wherever I could, mingling with whoever was sat near me. Then it happened.
Diarrhea from the buffet.
I
got a shit!
As is common in films, every major character has a stand-in, someone to stand on stage for purposes of camera and lighting. Well, one day, for some reason, the stand-in for the cat decided to sit down and have lunch right across from me. The thing is, he has in full cat head makeup.
Oh, no.
Ew. I wouldn't be able to eat. I would not be able to eat.
Yeah.
Now, imagine a human body, no cat suit, no normal human clothing, but the head is just the cat.
Ugh.
Ears, whiskers, yellow contacts and all, and it is eating. I almost threw up. Other crew members might have been used to this site. I was not.
This is what it's like to just watch this movie, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I commented how you can see inside that fucker's human mouth.
Gah. The poor bastard would take could take the suit off for breaks, but the head was just too time-consuming, so he stuck in it all until the end of the day. The man cat started chatting with me in a pretty thick Canadian accent. Turns out he was one of Mike Myers' pals from Canada and has been a stand-in on several movies.
Listen, here's the thing. If any of you guys get really famous making movies, I'm never going to be your pal who's the stand-in.
Yeah, why not, dude? You?
No problem.
Well, I couldn't stand in for you anyway. I'd have to get like boots for Cabin or stand on my knees for Steve.
You are an inch and a half taller than me. Congratulations.
I'm just saying I couldn't be a turtle.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Give me like an Aryan wig and I could do Eric.
Yeah. They sell those. Just buy one of those Trumpy bears and scalp it.
Shave it.
I've heard that there's a lot of people out there scalping the Trumpy bears. And you know what? That's a hate crime. Illegal. What a stupid thing to do. What a stupid thing to do. You're a racist.
Stand-up, very nice guy, as one would expect from our neighbors to the north. However, choking down this mass-produced spaghetti. I'm eating spaghetti, looking at the cat in the hat. Get me out of here.
Dude, buffet-style spaghetti.
Yes, thank you, Eric. Cat in the hat or no fucking
I'm bringing my own lunch.
I know this is Los Angeles, but... spaghetti in the buffet?
This is genuinely what Steve's Kruger nightmare would be.
Yes.
Talking to a cat man eating fucking cafe fucking spaghetti.
Goof.
Hey, Steve. There's peas and carrots in the sauce.
No, you sons of bitches.
Had to be a stand-in for Mike Myers. Got served nothing but egg noodles and ketchup.
Talking not even to real Mike Myers, like a schnook. Choking down my mass-produced spaghetti, staring into the yellow contact eyes of this man-cat, saying a boot was a tall order. We politely chatted, and I finished what I could of my meal, which should have been the bread.
Yeah, the water, maybe. The milk carton.
Though Jesus Christ, dude, you're eating fucking buffet spaghetti and drinking milk? Ew!
Through the rest of the production, the same... the event happened a dozen or so times. I would sit and begin to eat with the human feline hybrid. I would plot down next to me and start chatting about the day. But again, just in the nicest way. I never got used to the sight of that terrible visage, and it haunts me to this day. Interesting postscript. I have no idea what this gentleman looks like without the cat head. You guys hook up? That'd be pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. Shit. You just accidentally hooked up with Mike Myers' cat standing.
No. Leave it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a definite leave it on
You would
situation.
Have to, right? Just to try it out.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
See what it's like.
Just
take
for the
that,
story.
Take that head for a spin.
See if you swear off sex forever.
Interesting postscript. I have no, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I could not pick him out of a lineup. Love the show and keep up the great work, Foster.
We'll think about it, Foster. Think about keeping up the great work. I don't know. We might just close up shop.
Wow. Well, after this story, I might throw right up.
That shit is bone chilling. It reminds me of the time I saw it. It was the reverse, actually. I saw a dude who was portraying Marvin the Martian, but he had the head off and it was fucking under his arm.
I've never dealt with anybody like that.
I have
a big problem with face paint, period. I can't
really?
Do it. I can't look at it. I can't be around it. One year, a good buddy of mine for Halloween was an Oompa Loompa. It just grossed me out. It's just something about the face paint. It's clownish. It's a problem.
It's like clowns, but like more intense.
Yeah,
depending upon the face paint design.
Because you know it's going in your mouth at some point. It's just like, nope, 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 nope. And then eating spaghetti. Ooh, I might not be able to continue.
Chris Cabin, go ahead.
Okay. Papa Myers.
Ooh. I hope he makes pizza.
Hey, WHM gang.
The devil's pizza.
That pizza had the blackest olives. The devil's pepperoni.
There's nothing supreme about him.
Sorry.
Sheriff! Lonnie, get your ass away from that oven!
30 minutes or less!
The night that pizza came home,
I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Loomis, here's your order. Oh, we ran out of Cajun garlic bread.
Yeah! Yeah!
It fits in all sorts of places.
All right,
okay.
Papa Myers, here we go.
Okay.
Hey, WHM gang. This may be a little late for the October mailbag, but I'm going to see if I can squeeze it in anyways. So I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, the home of the Masters, which, if any of you are unfamiliar, is like the Super Bowl, but for golf, which is exactly as exciting as it sounds.
Mm-hmm. Not as much Pepsi sponsorship.
No.
I never watched golf in my life.
No. I can. Here's the thing. I don't give a flying shit about golf, but I can watch it. It's very zen. Also, with some tall glasses of water, you'll get like a nice little calming state watching golf.
That's true. But it is obviously a sport for the rich and indoctrinated.
The elite, you might say.
Yes.
The elites. Augusta is also the home of multiple religious shitbags who stand on the side of the main road in the city and wear Trump masks and have assault rifles that they point and pretend to fire at cars as they drive by.
Wait, what?
Now, this country's fucking great.
Do you live in Mad Maxia?
No, they live in a fucking state that has open carry, and that's what white people can do in those states.
Do it. Put my face on and commit drive-by shootings. I will pay your legal bills until I won't.
Walk away. Just walk away.
Just walk away. The Lord Humongous grants you that.
Protect the village. It was in the lovely town that it was in this lovely town that my poor father received multiple prank calls every night around Halloween. Why was he prank called so often?
Because he keeps fucking standing outside yelling at those kids.
Because my father's name is Michael Myers.
Oh.
And a bunch of idiots thought it'd be hilarious to call the house, play the iconic Carpenter theme, and breathe into the phone or quote Loose Loomis.
I could get it.
Yeah, baby. Shagadelic.
I'd call him like, who's Anthony? Who's Anthony? Who's Anthony?
My drummer. Can we hang up like, now? Yeah, okay.
Camera one, camera two, camera one.
I think he's poking you.
Can I get a cappuccino?
Can I get $1 billion?
Myers residence. Heed punts. No.
Hello.
Hello. Mariska Hargitay.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Myers residence. Wait. Are you just saying Inglorious Bastards over and over again? You know what, dude? Watch the movie again, get the quote, and fucking call me back.
Myers residence. I want to suck your cock. That's from 54. Goodbye.
Sorry.
I had to make the rounds. this was a common thing for my father. Had to deal with. He was born in 63, long before the film came out, and he has suffered ever since its release. To this day, any store I go to that he has some rewards program at loses their shit whenever I say the name Michael Myers.
Jesus, you as the cashier have to keep that together, folks.
Also, Michael Myers is a common enough name. Like, sure, Jason Voorhees, I will tear into you. But yeah, Michael Myers, come on.
You're working at a liquor store. You swipe the savings card of one Fred Krueger. Yeah, okay, I'm going to say something.
But Michael Myers is kind of innocuous.
It's like a smirk, and then you say, oh, you know, there goes named Michael Myers. And then your friend goes, ha ha ha.
Michael Myers, huh? The night his visa got declined. That's stupid.
It's all right. I'm all right with it.
Mr. Leatherface.
That's Mr. Leatherface.
However, there was one night that things went a little too far.
My dad killed three babysitters.
I hadn't been trick or treating. My family didn't really do Halloween.
Yikes.
Instead, we'd get a pizza, and my parents would rent movies for my sister and I to watch and turn out all the lights so no one would think we were home to give them candy.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, this is me as an adult on Halloween. Never mind. This is awesome. I'm sorry.
I remember walking to our kitchen late that night after I had gone to bed and saw my father sleeping in the den, sitting upright by the lamp with a phone in one hand and a baseball bat in the other.
Oh, yikes.
I didn't think much of it at the time, but I did notice we got considerably less calls around Halloween after that.
Is it a video phone?
Well, like, exactly. Like, I got a baseball bat. Okay, asshole.
Maybe this father was into some weird side business, some mafia stuff.
Oh, totally.
And this is just unrelated to the name.
I love how Eric was going the mafia route and Chris just went, like, peyote?
Why else are you fucking hanging out on Halloween with a fucking phone and a baseball bat?
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like a Chris Cabin night right there. Some peyote and a telephone, see what happens.
A few years later, my mother would tell me that we had changed our name in the phone book to her name. As my father had started to receive legitimate threats to both himself and my family.
Norma Bates.
Or Judith Myers.
I don't know what these threats were, but my father is not one to get himself worked up for nothing. So I imagine they must have actually been pretty serious threats.
What stupid asshole.
They're just bullshit, you know? Yeah. I wouldn't say they were... They're probably not serious.
Like, what asshole, like, looks somebody up in the phone book and is like, I'm going to get that guy. That guy, he's named after somebody that also had a name in a movie. You know, I'm going
to
get him.
There are parts of this country where there is not much to do. And
yeah, you're right.
Internet ain't consistent.
We don't entirely embrace education in this country. That's true.
Mr. Pinhead took this phone off the hook for the night, so we're going to... It's called Myers.
Going to go down. Shit rolls downhill tonight, boy. Here come. Sorry, dude. Fucking Dr. Leatherface didn't pick up the phone.
I have never asked him what they were and probably never will, but it sure is shitty to think that people would threaten someone probably as a joke over their fucking name. Anyway, love the show. You guys are the only Patreon I support. Yay.
Oh, thank you.
And this show has gotten me through a lot of hard times. Keep doing what you're doing. Yours truly, Scarred for Life in the South.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, yeah, thank you, Scarred for Life. And we should mention that patreon.com/wehatemovies is a great way to support the show.
It is, and you can get an episode on The Grinch. You can get some Nexus stuff. You'll get some commentaries and a Nightmare on Elm Street commentary.
But if you're listening to The Mailbag, you are, you know, a super fan.
Sure.
So you should check it out. It's probably for you.
This shit is crazy, though, about this dude sharing the name Michael Myers, because I just... I recently finished listening to all of Halloween Unmasked, the Amy Nicholson podcast, which I highly recommend. She does an episode where she's talking to people that have the name Michael Myers.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
And it's just all about that whole, what it's like having that name. And I wonder if this person, this person's father anyway, was like involved in that. But it's a very fascinating thing.
You know what? She called and then he threatened her with a baseball bat.
You know what, Amy Nicholson? Hey, how's Jack, Amy Nicholson? Exactly. What's good for the goose, man?
Got her.
Eric Siskel, let's do it.
Mailbag story.
The titles for these were made up. I just made them up. Because.
Oh, so you created Mailbag Story.
Mailbag Story and the next
one. Can I ask you, how many of these letters did you write?
Only two this time.
Chris Cavan only wrote Mailbag Story and Mailbag Story number two.
Gentlemen. While listening to the toilet camp discussion during the Urban Legend episode...
I don't know if it was much a discussion as it was we just made a joke about toilet camp.
Sure. Well, we opened the red door anyway.
You're right.
I was reminded of a stinky situation from my days in undergrad. Okay, this is not sex crime confession, by the way.
No, it just sounds more like your standard We Hate Movies.
By the way, if you in case you're wondering, if you confess to us over the internet, well, we're gonna turn you in.
We're
not priests.
We're licensed bounty hunters.
We have the mullets to prove.
We're deputies of Dog.
Well, it's been a while since Dog has been prominent, so we're trying to get that renaissance. We're trying to get that second wave.
The Dogissons, get that going.
Well, that guy turned out to be like a racist piece of shit, right?
Oh, that's right. I forgot he was a racist. Yeah. Shocking.
where are all the good bounty hunters gone?
What is going on with this letter?
I don't know.
All right, let's find out together.
Hold my hand. My roommates and I rented an old farmhouse a couple of blocks from the heart of campus and a few blocks... from the college bars.
Ooh.
Needless to say, we installed a bunch of toilet cam... No. Needless to say, we had a lot of parties at after-hour events at our house.
Sick.
We had a dining room that was specifically reserved for drinking games.
Yeah, you want to live here.
Oh, yeah. And it typically was only cleaned up after... it was only cleaned up before a party took place. Plastic cups often sitting around for a week or two until hours before the next big party was about to happen.
That place smelled great.
That's disgusting.
That place smelled great. You know what, though? We've all been there. We cannot judge. We've all been there, and as Steve just pointed out, we've lived it.
G44 philosophy?
That's right. Yes. WHM in jokes.
And I don't think that's a grandiose term to use for it. It is a philosophy.
All right.
Oh, God. This evening was no different, so I was a bit surprised when we had a group of guests arrive at our house before 9 p.m. It was a group of sorority girls that lived up the street, one of which I had a significant crush on.
Uh-oh! So later that day, I went back in with a baseball bat.
And a camera, and I said, anyway.
Signed Ted Bundy. Ted Theodore Bundy.
Oh, shit. Esquire.
That was Bill S. Preston.
Oh, wait. They were both...
Bill S. Preston, Esquire, and Ted Theodore Logan.
Oh, Ted Theodore Logan was not an Esquire as well?
No, he was not a lawyer.
Disbarred. I was really excited that she had shown up, but I was a bit nervous that they had arrived so early. Mm. I had not quite accomplished everything I had wanted to before people were supposed to show up. So while people were saying hi and grabbing drinks, I, page turn.
Nice.
Quickly darted up the stairs to use the only bathroom to make sure I was able to take a dump before the party started.
Pre-party dump, man. Very strategic. Incredibly very important.
You it's need to do it. Important. Yeah. Dumping, you got to dump first.
Because,
yeah.
Listen, let me throw this scenario at you guys.
Sure. Okay.
Party.
Imagine having to shit at a party.
Party. Full swing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric Siska sneaks away to take a dump.
Right.
Party's going on. Somebody says, where's Eric?
Oh.
Somebody.
Whenever I'm not around, that's what people say.
Where's Poochie? And then someone responds, I think he went upstairs to take a shit.
Oh,
humiliating.
Nice.
Right.
Do it beforehand, dude.
But with this product, you don't have to do that. You can shit your pants.
The move is you start talking up a lady, and then you're like, hey, you want to do me a favor? You want to come in this bathroom and wait in the shower while I take a shit? People will think that we're making out, but then I'll be able to shit.
Look, I came prepared. I have some earplugs and a fucking clothespin for
you.
This
has nothing to do with sex at all. Literally, I need you to be my shit beard. Okay,
I am not even attracted to you at all. I just need you to be my shit beard.
I have slightly better beer. You can have some of that.
I've got some sick IPAs up in my room, but I need you to be my ship beard right now.
You guys are disgusting.
Hey, it's practical.
Unfortunately, all right, now I'll get back to the letter. Unfortunately, this was no ordinary bowel movement.
Oh, yikes.
I quickly realized my mistake as the stench began to fill the bathroom.
Well, fucking courtesy flush, dude. Story over.
In a panic, I started the bathtub.
What? No, that is no, because then the steam, dude. No.
And quickly flushed all the turds. I reached for the book of matches that was typically in the bathroom to find that the last match had already been used.
Oh, that's a comical situation.
This is like that scene from Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
After washing my hands, I thought I could quickly run to my room, grab another book of matches, and burn the whole damn thing. When I opened the door, however, there was my crush waiting to use the bathroom. She's getting in line. Don't. She's getting in line to use the bathroom. Yeah.
Douche chill, though, man. Oh, also, I just went cold.
By the way, this is sorority girl, hard partying. You
she
know,
knows what's
I'm
going.
Sure she's taking huge, nasty dumps all over town.
All over town?
Well, I don't know. You know, they go to you,
anywhere she likes. She goes to the JC
go to class. Yeah, dude. Sometimes you go to JCPenney, you gotta take a shit.
You've also got to understand though, when you're throwing a party like this, when you know everyone's invited, in air quotes, you know, you gotta assume some people are gonna show up early. You gotta set up a little bit earlier than this, my
friend. Yes, definitely.
You should have checked the matches.
2 hour buffer time.
Yes,
2 hours prior to a party, you have cleaned the dormitory. You have taken your shit.
Yes, precisely.
Yep.
Oh boy. Where was I? I froze. I wasn't sure what to do. She asked if I was going to get out of the way. Somehow I calmly...
Bathroom bed!
Excuse me, I have to take a shit.
Bathroom bed! Don't go bathroom bed!
If you're going to hurl into this.
So I handled the situation well.
Somehow I calmly apologized to her and let her know that what she was about to experience was going to be unpleasant.
No, don't do that. Never do that.
What are you? No.
She said she didn't care and that she really had to go bad. I moved out of the way of the doorway and she slipped by me, slowly shutting the door. A moment later, I heard her loudly through the door. This is fucking nasty.
Oh, man.
Oh, yikes.
I was mortified and convinced that any efforts to continue to pursue her romantically were dead. However, as the night wore on, she continued to tease me publicly about the situation. Somehow, I rallied my confidence.
Hey there, shit boy.
But he started to get into it. He was like, yeah, I am a shit boy.
Hey,
yeah.
Here's this total hunk that fucking wrecked that toilet.
And then let me read the rest of the letter. And now I pay women to do this to me regularly. I go into crowded restaurants and they're like, oh, there's that nasty shit pig that shit all over the bathroom.
Can I say for the listeners
signed,
at home?
Embarrassed in Iowa. Thank you for your letter.
No. That while Steve Sadak was doing that fake bit of letter reading, he was using the notes we have as if he was reading the letter. That was much commitment. I appreciate it.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
Sorry.
It's like the Gary Oldman of reading shit. Anyway.
That's in a fat suit.
You go method, dude.
I live it.
This ain't no disco either.
I don't remember many other details of that particular night, although we did eventually hang out a little bit that summer. Nothing happened between us on that particular evening.
But what about the evenings over the summer?
Mm-hmm. Apparently,
don't structure the sentence
that's
like
for
that.
Next time.
Do you guys have any embarrassing stories making complete fools of yourselves in front of people that you were romantically interested in? Mm. Thanks so much for all the entertainment, Embarrassed in Iowa. So obviously, that moment that you used the bathroom ended any possibility with this young lady.
I suppose.
Right? I mean, he said they hung out some over the summer.
Yeah, it was like, but that was
a
different thing.
You're
going to
say, you're going to say like, oh, and then, you know, we started dating or whatever. But this is just like, no, we had a relationship where she called me shit boy.
I
just took it and then my life went on. And I wrote this into a podcast.
See, I thought it was going to be like some classic mailbag stories where it's like, I did something fucking horrible.
A boo-boo in the bathroom.
And then we got married.
Oh, yeah.
Which happens often on this show. Sometimes. But this, I'm a little let down. I'm kind of sad. It
I'm
didn't
not
work
sure.
Out.
The wet shit to marriage romance ratio. Not great, from what I know.
I will say, when I was courting someone romantically in college.
Nice.
This is a good story about Chris Cabin. And like, you know, we're hanging out. We're just friends. We're just hanging out. But like, you know, we're just hanging out. We're doing a long talk right out in front of her door, her apartment door.
That's you start spinning the web, dude, with talks.
And we're just having a long talk. And out of nowhere, I don't even know. I didn't talk to you all. I didn't talk to Chris all day. I didn't know anything. Just the door opens from across the way. It was an outdoor apartment complex situation. She had an apartment one way, like, you know,
right.
200 feet away. This door opens and I hear, Steve, beer pong. Come on over here. We're doing beer pong. And I'm like, yeah, that is pretty cool. That's where you grew up, huh? Well, where I grew up was, yeah, man, we're doing beer pong. Shut up, loser. Get in here. We're playing beer pong. And I'm like, yeah, well, that my favorite movie is, but beer pong. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll have to leave you to kill that man.
Well, look,
I have that that man to kill.
And you've been
look, my time as the devil on your shoulder
yes.
was long and storied.
Yes. That's what I'm about to say. The relationship with Chris Cabin has been never ending.
Yeah, wow. What a
happily ever after.
That's true. What a meet cute.
That was the first time we met.
you're just screaming that to random people in the street.
You just guessed the name Steve.
Yeah.
Didn't I scream at you on the tail end of a date one time downtown?
Yes. Yeah. We told that story where you were telling that story about how you guys threw up in the Japanese restaurant.
Oh, right. Yeah. I lost a bet about drinking a bunch of wasabi.
Wait.
Wow, we have publicly humiliated you a lot.
Haven't I done it another time when I yelled at you at some point? Is that the girl you like?
Yeah. No. Yes. 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 It's shocking that I'm married today.
It's amazing.
No one saw that coming.
No.
I never lost it bodily function wise.
No. Yeah.
In front of there's always a thing where you're like, I always find fascinating. You're paranoid about the. Like the first fart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Like, yeah. That's a big thing.
I've been married 6 years now, so all bets are off. But like the first fart is always a weird thing where you're like, oh my God, if I don't fart right now, I think my head might explode. Like I have to fart so fucking bad. And like in those early stages of relationships and also with drop and trow and whatnot, you're like,
sure.
You're making excuses to leave entire buildings.
Oh, sure.
To go just fucking cut wind and also like drop a deuce or whatever. There's a lot of like, oh, I forgot that back at my dorm. I'll be back in 20 to 26 minutes.
Oh, rich boy.
All right. I love these Chris Cavan fucking subject lines. Mailbag story 2:mailbaggier, which is just genius. Hey, guys. I hope this reaches you all in time for Halloween. It didn't.
Did not.
I thought I'd share with you my most horrific Halloween memory. Fair enough. Let's do it. At the tender age of 10, I went to my first haunted house in my small town in Iowa. Wow, a lot of the Iowans writing in. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
With my best.
We need them.
Yeah, we.
Yeah, you should vote against Steve King next time.
Yeah, yeah, get him out of there.
God, how the fuck did that happen? What were you guys fucking thinking?
Well,
probably not these people that wrote in.
No,
blood
no.
oaths are a tricky business. You don't really know how deep they go.
I went to the first haunted house in my small town in Iowa with my best friend Angela. My dad drove us the entire 10 blocks across town to the country where a makeshift haunted house had been constructed from storage units donated by the city council.
Well, that gives me a reason to go to Wendy's. La-dee-da, frosty and the spicy chicken for
the
Ted.
Good Wendy's.
Yes.
The good Wendy's.
You're out of spicy nuggets? Oh,
dude, that's
what
a
the
fucking
fuck?
Crime. That is a fucking crime.
The
how dare you?
Fuck, can I talk to you? Do you manage your having back there?
Is Wendy back there or what?
I remember my dad.
I want to see Wendy. Bring me Wendy.
March her out here now.
Oh, she's dead, child. Oh, y'all want to speak to Wendy? Oh, it's going to be a minute. I got to go get my crystals, y'all.
Let me speak to Wendy.
Your mother's like cocks in hell, guys.
My dad decided we were old enough to go in by ourselves. Big mistake. No sooner had we began approaching the entrance than a man with a mask and a chainsaw came running around the corner and began chasing Angela and I.
Ooh.
This is unrelated to the haunted house.
Yeah, this was at the Wendy's.
I took this as something similar to you being terrorized by that man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
I mentioned it on another
mailbag.
You definitely did. Are you getting flashbacks right now?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Well, I as a child, I was chased around a playground by a man in a jumpsuit and a Jason Voorhees mask, you know, like a hockey mask, and he stabbed me with a fake knife, and I've never been the same.
I didn't think you would be.
I should mention. I had recently seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre at 10. My goodness gracious. And was legitimately terrified. I began running back to my dad's car, screaming and crying, completely abandoning Angela. I got in, closed the door, and almost immediately the door reopened. I thought for a second it was Angela. No, it was not. Instead, I found myself facing the Chainsaw Man.
What? You can't do Chainsaw Man. You're not allowed to open doors.
You can't be touching cars. You know what, Jerry? You can't be touching cars. We told you this last Halloween.
I know you like to chase the pretty girls around. That's fine. But you cannot be touching cars.
His chainsaw still running. Wait, we're talking real chainsaws?
It can't be.
He leaned into the car growling and waving the chainsaw in my face. I began hysterically screaming, and my dad bolted from the driver's seat and grabbed him by the shoulders, pushing him up against the wall and screaming, "Your job is to scare kids, Jerry, not terrorize him." This dude's name was actually Jerry. I swear on everything, I hadn't read this email beforehand.
Nailed it.
After that, we just left. Yeah, never having gotten to the haunted house. How about this? You didn't just leave. You have a fucking the lawsuit of the century on your hands. Have you guys ever been terrorized inappropriately by small town haunted house workers? Love the show. Keep up what you're doing, Heather from Arizona. Well, Eric, yes, yeah, his life was
just
ruined.
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of summed it up. And it took me a while to get into horror and Jason. But now that like I've faced that fear,
I've become
the Batman. Like I'm all about Friday the 13th.
And you know what, dude? I bet you anything, that dude who did that to you, he's long dead.
Definitely.
I will say I refuse to go into haunted houses until like I was in college.
I wouldn't go.
I absolutely hate them.
It seems like an unpleasant experience.
Yes. Oh wait, you're telling me that at any moment some person's going to be like right in my like my personal space,
yes,
looking at me in some stupid mask and yelling at me.
I could just visit my father. I'll say no. That.
Yeah. Oh, I got family, man.
Oh, cool. Oh, and it smells like gross candles. Awesome. That's cool.
I've never got it with the haunts. You know what I mean? I've never cared for it. And I think it stems from the fact I'm not a huge fan of audience participation. No. And that is technically a situation where it's 100% audience participation.
Although, shout out that great documentary, Hell House.
Oh, man.
It's incredible. About the Christian haunted house.
Oh, no, that one's good. There's another one.
Yeah, what is that one?
I don't remember what it's fucking called.
Fuck. There's no, so I know.
House or something like that?
I know Hell House. I haven't seen it yet. That's like Christian stuff.
Yeah.
Steve and I are obsessed with this one documentary. It's about like extreme haunted houses and like the lengths that these people go to like physically abuse people. There's like waterboarding and shit. And it's awesome because, of course, behind it all is a white man throwing away his entire family savings to do it.
Oh, geez.
There was a hold on, I'm finding that the name of that doc. That guy, the most famous guy in that documentary,
is he in jail for life now?
No, I was watching this show. It's a Netflix. It's on Netflix. I don't know if it's a Netflix show. It's like a New
Wild
Zealand.
Wild Country.
It's the same. No, it's the same guy.
Dude, it was fucking Osho running that haunted house.
It's the same guy who did Tickled, that like New Zealand guy.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. He's got a show.
Dark Tourism.
As we call it, Dak Tourism. And it's like he's going around doing all these Dak tourist things, and he goes to America, and he goes to that guy's haunted house.
Get out of town.
But it's like he had to move like three towns over because it's been years, and like you have to do this whole thing. He's like, and now you got to wear a Snuggie, and you got to like, it's like he's making people wear diapers. Wait. It's getting real weird with this dude.
Oh, okay. Shit.
How extreme is it? Are you sending away, like, can they murder you?
The movie is, I'm sorry, the documentary is called Haunters, The Art of the Scare.
Yes, you have to, Chris Cabin, Eric Ziska, everybody else in listener land, you have to watch this movie. I think it might be on Shudder or Netflix or something.
I think it's on Netflix, yeah.
It is stupendous. It is, like, just the fucking epitome of people wasting their money on shit. And it's that weird thing where the guy is justifying it, being like, well, honey, the fans are counting on me. Yes. You know what, dude? No, shut down the waterboarding station.
That's what I keep telling my wife about this podcast. Fans are counting on me.
Steve Sadek, let's do it.
It's the last one, Halloween 2018. Hello, WHM crew. Thank you for everything you guys do. Stay awesome. I mean, I always like that, but it's always like, you know, there's like cops and firemen and like EMS.
EMT, and we're better than them.
And do me a favor, everybody. Throw some money to those California firefighters, by the way.
Yeah, dude.
I don't have any particular links. I know you can find them using the power of the internet. Yes. Fucking throw those dudes some money.
Thank those dudes for what they do. I mean, also, thank you for listening. And also, it's nice that you'd say that. But
throw us some money while you're at it.
it's just funny when that happens. I want to write in to share my horrific experience watching the new Halloween movie.
Uh-oh.
My wife, Liz, and
Liz, and
I went to see it on Sunday night during opening weekend. I expected a slightly rowdy crowd, but nothing we haven't seen before. Of course, I was wrong.
Oh, shit.
As the trailer started up, a couple brought in a line of young girls
ages ranging from 5 to 12.
What? What'd you do, a fucking census?
And in front of us. It went down exactly like you'd expect. These girls were chatting the whole time, and even worse, well, they also seemed to be trying to out-scream each other.
Everybody knows preteens love David Gordon Green.
Yeah, that's true.
They just kill for George Washington. They think it's fantastic.
Oh my God, I fucking love all the real girls! Yay!
Danny McBride co-wrote it, yay!
Snow Angels is overrated!
One of them would shriek at a mild square, and they would giggle, and then one would shriek at the scream as loud.
Prince Avalanche is better!
Louder at the next possible opportunity. That sucks.
Your Highness is better than Pineapple Express. Kiss my ass.
That is a lie.
Ma'am, that is a lie.
Teach your kids to lie.
They were also on their phones sharing and chatting about Facebook or something.
Nobody saw your brand is crisis.
But that's not all.
Uh-oh.
The couple to our right fought about popcorn through the entire runtime.
Apparently, what is there to fight about?
Well, listen up.
Okay, sorry. He did something with Al Pacino, too.
Apparently, the man was eating too much of the popcorn, and that was simply unacceptable. He got up 3 times to refill their bucket.
No fucking
That's
way.
Insane. That is insane.
That is a crazy person.
That's 4 buckets of popcorn between 2 people. That's 2 buckets of popcorn each.
The fucking movie's under 2 hours long. What are we doing?
There's just, that's, there's.
I'm sorry, hon. I said dinner and a movie.
You can't even, you don't have time to chew that much popcorn.
Oh my God.
That's disgusting.
All right.
Scurrying in front of each time. His counterpart talked to him over the phone every time he got up, using the world's worst staged whisper to speak into her popcorn glutton of a boyfriend.
Wait, I'm sorry. So this woman was calling this dude while he was out of the concession stand?
I think it was probably a thing where he tried to come back in and she was like, Jason, I'm over here.
Like, I certainly kind of hope so. Instead of like you're on the phone like, it's fucking butter in the middle, Jason. Fuck it. No, then tell her to dump it out and do it again.
And last but not least, the lady 2 seats to my left repeatedly shouted such gems at the scream to, like, listen to what he has to say. And what are you doing? You know he's over there. She obnoxiously shrieked several times, and once even jumping so bad she spilled half of a large popcorn all over the floor, and then the couple from the front started eating it off of the floor. No, that's not true.
They definitely did, though.
Unfortunately, my wife and I's passive-aggressive stares were not enough to stop this. They never are. I enjoyed the movie, but my experience was a bit ruined.
Ugh.
Have your movie-going experiences ever been ruined by a bunch of children or a couple fighting about popcorn consumption? Thanks a bunch, Logan and Liz from Ohio.
Eric clearly has the only relevant one.
I'm not going to mention. You know what? If you want to hear that story about me and popcorn getting into a fight, go listen to our episode on SWAT, I think it was.
I forget what
all that's the way right, back so when. Yeah. It might be in the archive episode. At this point.
I have a half a story. It's my brother. Who is a notorious concession person. This man will spend $75 at the movie.
I remember this.
He'll just do it. He'll just go and, like, he's getting candy. He's getting popcorn. Thin as a rail. Soda pop. He's got the whole thing ready to go.
It's disgusting how in shape your brother is.
And one time he did this. He was with his girlfriend at the time. And, like, it was a super crowded bad movie theater. He puts his soda down. He sticks his straw in. And, like, he starts to watch the movie, and he looks over to his right, and the woman is sipping soda out of his straw.
Get the fuck out
and
of
here. Like, Looney Tunes.
He's like, wait, what? And she's like, oh, I thought that was mine. And he was like,
why should some have so much and others have so little?
That's fucking outrageous, dude. One time I will say this really quickly. I went to go see in the theater The Passion of the Christ.
Gotcha.
Oh dear.
Because why not? Mm-hmm. And it was
well. There's a couple reasons.
Yeah, there was a lot of why nots, but there was also a lot of whys. Reverse that. So anyway, we're in the theater, and like the lights go down, And like, you know, if you haven't seen that movie, it's fucking like crucifixion torture sure. porn. He gets a cat o' nine tails in the eyelid. It's really fucking brutal and violent, whatever. This little old lady is walking into the theater like, I can't wait to see this new movie about Jesus.
Yeah.
And as far as we could tell, she was totally alone. Mm-hmm. She sat alone. She didn't walk in with anybody else. And she walked in carrying a large popcorn, like a big ass bucket of popcorn, fucking chicken tenders, a huge soda, and like, because the auditorium just reeked of fried chicken. She had the chicken strips, and it was like, you're about to go watch this movie where Jim Caviezel, as the Lord Christ, is brutalized, and you know,
yeah, he would want it that way. Yeah, that's right. Fuck him. Fuck you, Jesus. I got all this food now.
This is your body, and I'm eating it up.
Like, this dude's getting Eli Rothed in this fucking movie.
I worship the devil.
Oh, my God. She was a Satanist. But I just have to say, there was something about, and this, I guess the message of this is, like, pick and choose where you're getting which concessions.
Yeah.
Because there was something about just watching who many believe to be the Son of God be tortured and murdered.
Yeah, you were having a transcendental experience at the theater, and this woman mucked it up.
She
for
mucked
us.
It up because it fucking smelled like fried chicken throughout the entire auditorium. It was disgusting.
You're like being horrified, but you're also kind of getting hungry.
That's exactly right. I was pissed off.
Waitress! Waitress, I'm out of honey mustard!
Oh, dude, you see it at the Alamo.
That is WHM Mailbag for the month of November. If you have some fucking crazy-ass letters, man, get those letters in December. It is happening, so maybe some holiday-themed disaster stories. We always love those.
My new favorite holiday.
That's right. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. So until next month, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cavan.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.